Mac Prospectus Audio. Just a quick programming note. If you noticed that there were two of the same episodes that were uploaded up into your podcasting feed, if you're a subscriber to the show, and if you've made it this far, of course you are. And if you're not, now's a good time to start. You'll notice that there were two episode 25s that were published on Thursday. And the reason for that is because the first episode I screwed up with the clip that I had uploaded, and there was dead air after John Steinbrecher's words around the 30-something minute mark when there should have been audio. So I apologize for that screw-up, but that's why I published a second one. The second one is the correct version, so if you listened to the first one and was wondering what happened, it was because I boo-booed, and I'm sorry that I boo-booed, and I promise no more boo-boos the rest of the way. Or at least I'll limit them. I'll limit the boo-boos. And if you did listen to the second episode and enjoyed it, thank you. But today we have to get to the transfer portal again because, holy crap, there is more news surrounding the Bowling Green quarterback situation. Thursday this week, it was announced that Bryce Veazley, three-star quarterback that was part of the 2018 signing class who redshirted in 2018, even though he enrolled early, you know, he was a very promising quarterback that a lot of fans and the coaches were really excited about to get out of West Bloomfield in Michigan. And I remember one of the fun facts about him, his state title game his senior year. Want to know what the final score was? And I'll leave it to you to figure out who won and who lost. You know, you can look it up yourself, but I want to tell you the score first. The score for the state championship game, which was indoors, 3-2. But Bryce Veazley, he and his promise are going elsewhere. He hasn't figured out a school yet, but he put his name into the transfer portal to leave Bowling Green after Jarrett Dagey left months back before the NFL draft. I remember it was around that time when he left for West Virginia. And that leaves two of the three quarterbacks that entered the offseason that were all part of the team last year, all on scholarship. Two of the three scholarship quarterbacks are gone now, leaving Grant Loy, redshirt junior, still around. And Grant Loy's not exactly the quarterback that you really want to have your D1 team rely on. At least, you know, that's where he's at in his development curve. So the best option for, you know, Scott Loeffler, you know, of course, and it's important to note that he's a new coach there too, so he kind of needs to change things up. And the expectations, even though that Jarrett Dagey was a pro-style quarterback and that there were pro-style quarterbacks in the system before, James Morgan, you know, he was there recently. He's still playing college ball. He's more of a pro-style guy. The expectations out of the quarterback position, no matter how you dice it up, are going to be radically different from Jinks to Loeffler, based on backgrounds, based on their knowledge levels, and based on how they want their team to look. And that means that there had to be some sort of cleaning up to do. That means there had to be, you know, getting guys into the system that know Scott Loeffler and know him well. That's why Matt McDonald, who is going to be a redshirt sophomore, he's coming into the program. He's not there yet. He hasn't been cleared to play yet. They're still waiting on the NCAA's thumbs up to say that he can play right now. If not, then he'll have to wait until next year when he's going to be a redshirt junior. But Matt McDonald, he comes from, he's transferring from Boston College, and he was a kid that they recruited out of California. I don't know if Loeffler was his primary recruiter, so I don't want to say the wrong words there, but he still comes from Mission Viejo, California. And if, you know, if you're wondering where do good quarterbacks come from, I don't know if it's Mission Viejo, California. But if you're a fan of butt fumbles, then I'm happy to inform you that guess who else went to Mission Viejo? That's right, Mark Sanchez. That's your fun fact for this podcast. And I got it in before the 5-minute mark. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Good audio. Anyways, Matt McDonald, he is coming into the fold for Bowling Green. And whether or not he can play this year, that remains up in the air. Maybe he won't. I don't know. It's not like he's getting any closer to family, so that's not going to help. But he's still a Boston College guy. He's been part of, you know, Scott Loeffler's offense before, so he knows the terminology, what the expectations are from LaFleur, not only as a quarterback, you know, a quarterback that wants to do well and playing the football part, but as a player on the team that has an understanding of what kind of culture and what sort of expectations there are for him as a human being to be walking around in the locker rooms at Bowling Green to fix all the culture issues that they've had under the Jinx era, you know? And that's part of changing the culture. And there's another former Boston College quarterback coming into the fold that was announced on Thursday. I don't know if it was right after or right before Bryce Beasley was confirmed to be in the transfer portal. I'm sure one had to do with the other at some point. But Darius Wade, he is listed as a dual threat guy, lefty quarterback. He played in Boston College for 4 years. He didn't play a whole lot. He still didn't even throw 200 passes. Let me pull up his stats here. He was actually a career 95 for 171 passer, so he threw at 55%, not even 1,100 yards, 6.4 yards per attempt, 5 TDs, 5 picks. So he's pretty average there, but he was not supposed to be pegged as a full-time starter the whole time. And then as a grad student for 2018, he spent a season with Delaware, enrolled in January, but he didn't get any PT. Fast forward a little bit, obviously Beasley leaves, so that leaves another scholarship available to be had for someone that wants to play quarterback in Scott Loeffler's system. You know, same thing that I just said for McDonald just now. You know, copy and paste that right here. And that's getting closer to the product that Loeffler wants for his Bowling Green program. But, you know, it's, hey, nothing's totally figured out. Of course, right now they only have Grant Loy as the only quarterback at Bowling Green. So I want to know how many walk-ons they take at quarterback this year. That'd be kind of fun to figure out. Of course, I wouldn't do any huge deep dives, but I will spend 40 minutes down that rabbit hole just to see what their huddles look like. Because there's definitely some help that needs to be had there. They need some, if there's strength in numbers, they don't have enough numbers. But getting two guys to transfer into the program that have a good understanding of what Loeffler wants, what Loeffler says when he says things, how the playbook is presented, what the language is, blah, blah, blah. It just speeds up the process a little bit more to have that understanding. You should understand that, right? So, personally, I don't really know where my expectations for Bowling Green's quarterback group to be at this year because, I mean, I don't really know enough about the two incoming quarterbacks from Boston College and Delaware, plus Boston College again. I don't really know what their real strengths are. I don't really know what this team looks like if Grant Loy has to start for even two or three games. I like some of the receivers. I like some of the receivers on paper that Bowling Green has this year. You know, R.B. Marlowe, Jordan Wayne Prather, Noah Massey, Isaiah Johnson-Mack. There's a lot of guys with hyphens in here, by the way. Julian Ortega-Jones. Quentin Morris is pretty good. You know, I like some of the receivers that they have. I just don't know who the quarterback's going to be. And whether it's Loy, whether it's McDonald, whether it's going to be Wade, I don't know. I don't know, man. It's just going to be a long season. But at least we're prepared for it. We all saw this coming, you know, very far ways away. But how quickly can the quarterbacks get to an efficient level to get Bowling Green's offense to even averaging, you know, 28 points a game? You know, because I think that will be pretty important going forward. They're not going to win a lot of games if they're not scoring a lot. And on that note, I still have I have to do some updates on my blog. I have to update the transfer portal a little bit more. It was pointed out to me that I haven't touched this thing since late May, and it is late July. So I think it's been 2 months to the day since my last official update on there. So my bad. You know, I kind of figured that things would start to get figured out around this time, you know, after May, when guys are finally graduated and they're finishing up their discussions with such and such coach before camp opens in August, and I get that. So I think I kind of gave myself too long of a break there, but on my list, and of course I'm not completely done yet, and even when I feel like I'm done, I won't be. On my list of guys that are transferring out of the Mid-American Conference, or at least from their respective teams out of the Mid-American Conference, because you got to remember Julian Hicks went from CMU to Akron this year, I have 79 dudes listed here that are transferring out of their schools. Some of them are already at other schools on scholarship. Some guys have walked on to other places. Some guys aren't playing football at all. Some guys are changing sports. I count one on that last part, but I digressed. Some guys are still out there, but some of these guys that I have listed are still out there. They probably have schools that they're lined up to that I just don't know about and couldn't find information about. There are 79 guys here. I'll give you some of the names that that are important updates that are pressing to me. Of course, you know, we've talked about a few of these guys before. Some of these guys are bigger names than others. Obviously, we've talked about Jarrett Diggie to West Virginia before. Obviously, we've talked about, well, I don't know if we've talked about in this program before, but it happened so long ago. Mike Dana to Michigan, James Gilbert, Kansas State from Ball State, obviously. Riley Neal, Vanderbilt, you know, that's old news at this point. You probably know about him. KJ Osborne to Miami of Florida. But some of these other guys I had to get heavily updated on this morning. Otherwise, I would have podcasted 3 hours ago if I would have already done this. But here's some guys that are pressing to me. Justin Hall, he was a safety at Northern Illinois. He redshirted his first year on campus. He was a guy that a lot of NIU fans really, really were excited for when he came in because he was playing in the Under Armour All-American Bowl, and he was a local guy from, I think it's like Homewood Flossmore Academy in Illinois, but he is now playing at Western Illinois at the FCS level. There is Charlie Jones, who played wide receiver for the Bulls. Of course, there was KJ Osborne, who already left. Anthony Johnson graduated. Tyler Mabry transferred to Maryland. So those were pretty important receivers that were already gone from the team. George Rushing graduated too, the grad transfer from Wisconsin, I believe it was. And now Charlie Jones, who came onto the scene last year as an emerging freshman, he transferred out already. And last year he caught 18 passes for, let's call it 400 yards, scored 3 times. He was coming into his own. He was getting pretty impressive, and I was getting excited for the prospect of him growing and maturing into that Buffalo offense, so long as Leipold stays there. But actually, Charlie Jones left, and now he is a walk-on receiver at Iowa, so good luck to him there. There's some guys that are going the junior college route, guys that I count going community college right now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I count 7 guys so far. There's Abraham Ellis, the running back from Akron after his, you know, one season with the Zips. Malik Bryant, tight end for Miami. He was, at one point, before he signed in February, he was a Maryland commit, and then he decommitted right before signing day, and he signed with Miami, and he was the number one recruit in the Red Hawk class that year. He's going to Garden City. Abraham Ellis, I should probably say what school he's going to. He's going to Dodge City. Willie Cherry, he's a receiver quarterback at Ohio. He's going the JUCO route. He's going to Trinity Valley. Matt Hansen, a defensive end for Akron. He is playing at Iowa Central. Ravion Hargrove, he played a little bit as a true freshman. Not a whole lot, but if you saw any of the clips, you know exactly what he is. He is a small dude, and he is incredibly fast. But he is headed to Garden City as well. Verenzo Holmes, he's a cornerback from Ball State. He's going to Northwest Mississippi Community College. And to Darius Patterson, he plays linebacker for Toledo. Actually, no, he doesn't. He plays linebacker for the Community College of San Francisco now. I'm sure that some of these other guys that I don't know where they're going to play yet, they are, you know, some of these guys are probably going to have to go the junior college route. Unless, of course, that they're, you know, grad students, and why would they go to the community college route? But some guys that I don't know where they're going to school yet, maybe they don't know where they're going to school yet either. Chase Brown, running back for Western Michigan, talked about him, you know, a few months ago when him and Jaden Reed both transferred out at the same time. Jaden Reed is obviously at Michigan State now, and Chase Brown still as far as I know, he's not not on a team. And another guy that hit the transfer portal pretty recently that I had to be hat-tipped by my friends on the Tuesday Night Lights podcast by Justin and Brandon, Cortez Lewis, the wide receiver for Western Michigan, which is a pretty weird one. He was already an incoming transfer from Wake Forest, and he was going to play his graduate years at, I don't know if it's year or years. I don't know if he had two or one year. But he was going to play as a grad student for Western Michigan. He was going to provide instant experience and instant help at that position, and they desperately need it. And now they desperately need it more with him transferring out. So that makes three receivers transfer out already. That makes him, that's Jaden Reed, and you can't forget about Keyshawn Watson, who's at Appalachian State. So that is not good. Not good. Jamar Smith, a three-star linebacker defensive end for NIU. I just remember that he signed with NIU this past year. And wait, was it this past year? Yep, I had to check. He is a three-star prospect that was already signed and coming to NIU this year. Now, of course, he isn't. So don't know what the whole story is there. Hopefully, you know, he figures it out and everything works out well for him. But other than that, I think that's about it. After I hit stop record on this thing, I gotta go through and edit the rest of my list and triple check all the names on here to see that if the guys that are still lingering, if they're actually still lingering out there. I'm sure there's plenty of guys that are transferring into the MAC that I have missed. So I'm gonna have to check through the updated rosters now that those are more helpful sources of information across the MAC to see what the information looks like there. I'm sure I have most of them, but you know, doesn't hurt to double check. Oh, one more thing. Quantrez Knight, he was the safety from Maryland that transferred over to Kent State. He was he had to appeal to the NCAA to let him play this year because at first they weren't going to let him. And he has won his battle, so he will be immediately eligible to play for Kent State. So that is, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. You know, Kent State, you know, needs some positivity, and that is a pretty good source for it. So congrats to Contreras Knight. Hopefully he balls out this year, and hopefully he gives Kent State a lot of fun and gives him, you know, screw it. Hopefully he goes, like, first overall in the NFL draft in a couple years. Why not? And with that, thank you again for listening to this episode of MAC Prospectus Audio. Hopefully you've enjoyed the this episode and the rest of my episodes. And if you have, please tell your friends about me. And if they're MAC nerds, you should tell them to subscribe, just like you have. You can subscribe to podcasts any way possible. Spotify, Google Podcasts, Podbean, Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Pocket Cast, App, Pocket, something, whatever. You know, just check the internet store and download one of them podcast listening devices, and you'll download it, and you'll hit the magnifying glass, and you'll hit subscribe, and your life will be better for it. On the Twitters, I'm at @ARAlvarado13, at @MacProspectus, and at @MacFBRecruiting. Thank you again for listening, and have a great day.